He is Anthony Herron. I am Matt Spiegel. It is 670 The Score. A reminder that the Cubs are in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. Pregame coverage begins at 5:05 with the first pitch at 5:40 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Several of you texted in on the topic of how your Bears fan existence has changed, even if subtly, now that Caleb Williams is here. Someone a little bit earlier said that I just bought a new Bears polo because of my Caleb Williams excitement. Went out to the store, bought himself a Bears polo. Do you not work for the Bears, sir? Are you in the on the administrative staff?
Sometimes, Speaks, dads just, we transition into team-issued team polos, okay? It's just what it is when you're
really?
Dad. Yeah, I hope this person's a dad. You know?
You do?
I bet he is.
My God. And sir, do you work for Fox Sports Local?
You age out of the jerseys, you know? You don't want to do the jersey thing, so you do team polo. What's the big deal?
I mean, I guess nothing. I guess it's fine. You know what it is? I don't have the physique for a polo shirt. You know? I don't. I don't wear them. If it's a golf outing,
I didn't know this about you, that you don't wear polos.
No, I do not.
Okay.
I do not. I like button downs.
Yeah.
Like some t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But not polos.
Okay.
I dread the golf outings with the required polo wear. It's just not my thing. But that's one way. Tanny, do you own? Are you saying you own the team issue
not
polo?
Not me, no. I would never. Yeah,
Shane, I would never.
Shane, you buying that? To me, it sounds
no.
Like...
Not in a second. This guy's king of the polos over here. You should see his polo closet at home.
Yeah, he's got a huge polo closet.
Blackhawks polo, I Bears understand. Polo, White Sox polo.
This texture said it's uncomfortable to actually consider Bears polo. Players at their respective fantasy football draft rank. Yeah, it's true. Mm. Like, I saw that. I'm in my Guillotine League draft right now with the great Paul Charchian, a delightful man.
Dangerous.
That's a fun league. It's a fun style.
You get beheaded when you lose?
No, your team does not exist. You finish dead last, your team gets absorbed into the free agent ranks, and you're gone. You're done. So it starts with 18
okay.
teams,
uh-huh.
or 19, whatever it
so
is.
So then, like, once the regular season ends, other people can claim your players for the playoffs?
No, there is a playoff component. It's a different thing, but it's okay. just a regular season league. But, like, week four, four teams have been chopped.
Oh, really?
And
so just weekly?
Weekly. You're done. So you're out.
Wow.
And so all of a sudden.
How many teams are in this league?
17, 18, something
okay.
like that. You know? Wow. And by the end, you know, so by the middle of the season, the rosters are unbelievable.
Oh, okay.
The free agent, like, right. Hey, Mahomes just got cut. You know what I mean? If your team is bad,
right.
you get chopped.
That's
and all of your players become free agents. It's really fun. Go to guillotineleagues.com. But
you should have floated that to Nico earlier. I wonder what kind of league he had.
Yeah, going. Right? I don't know.
Guillotine League.
Guillotine League is cool. Okay. But yeah, like, so Keenan Allen, they're like suggesting you draft Keenan Allen earlier. Like, it's hard for me to imagine that I'll have just enough, but that's because DJ Moore is there and because I like Roma Dunze as well. So who are you supposed to draft? You know what I mean? So these are subtle ways that your Bears fan existence has changed, and we'll keep mixing those in. But Ant, you asked for some research, and you have in your hands, that's a list.
Not exactly true, but I have it available.
That's a list over there
mm-hmm.
of all of the greatest defensive ends around the NFL. And then over here, that's Montez. You find yourself wondering how Montez Sweat's usage compares to other defensive ends around the league, because we brought it up yesterday.
Right. And it became a bit of a... I guess a concern at times last season while the Bears were scuffling at different points and the defense was starting to emerge and winning games and losing games and some of those inconsistencies. And so in the evaluation afterwards, there was certainly something that came up just wondering, well, why was Montez Sweat out for that series? How come Montez needed rest here or there? And defensive line is an extremely taxing position. It is the most physically taxing position on the field, the least mentally taxing position on the field. So there are going to be times where guys got to step out and take a break. The best defensive fronts in football can come at you in waves. They can throw a bunch of different bodies at you. And by comparison to some of the other top guys in the business, here you look at...
Hey, fellas, real quick, let's go to our list. Let's see how we did.
Ooh, let's go.
All right.
Yeah, list time.
People
list
are excited
season.
Around these parts.
Uh-huh, as they should be. So the defensive lineman in football that has the highest percentage
Ooh.
Of snaps played from last season... Max Crosby. Max Crosby was on the field by percentage more than any other defensive lineman in
football. So more than any interior guy, more than anybody.
Yep, 95% of the snaps did Max Crosby play last season in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And he plays hard. He plays with energy. Now, he's a guy who's a little more of a finesse defensive end. He's not in there, you know, taking on double teams. He's not bumping down over the guard at any points. But as far as just being on the field and just kind of playing with your hair on fire, Max Crosby does play with a lot of energy. He played 95% of the snaps. Only other guy at 90% or above, Aiden Hutchinson of the Detroit Lions. Aiden Hutchinson at 90% of the snaps.
Damn, that is really high.
That is enormously high.
That is a really high percentage. Because do you have Montez's percentage? Because we know that Matt Eberflus likes to bring the D linemen in waves, more like they do it in Philly, where they've got they're so deep on that D line by design. So I'll be looking forward to you getting there. But that is a really high number for Aiden Hutchinson in Detroit.
And for players who are as consistently as productive as both of them are, especially Max Crosby and Hutchinson, even though the sack numbers can ebb and flow a little bit, but you see the production in the way that he impacts things versus the run and against the pass. Derrick Brown of the Carolina Panthers, an interior defensive lineman, plays 89% of the snaps. An absolutely fantastic football player is Derrick Brown. Kayvon Thibodeau of the New York Giants plays 87% of the snaps as a defensive end with the Giants. Again, maybe a guy who's a little more of a finesse player, doesn't play with the physical brand.
Very high draft pick, though. Very high draft pick.
Yeah, high draft pick who the Giants have been pleased with so far. Aaron Donald, at this point in his career, coming off of last season, well, guess what the percentage was for Aaron Donald snaps played last year?
Mm-hmm.
81%.
Man.
Aaron Donald was on the field for 81% of the snaps for the Rams last year. So you go past a few other names, guys like Jonathan Allen and Nick Bosa.
Where's Nick Bosa? Because that's a sort of a dream comp in terms of production for Montez Sweat, right?
Nick Bosa, San Francisco last season, played 75% of the snaps for the 49ers. So that's still a very high percentage because we picture wanting like every key moment in the game, every key situation. Say you play 60 snaps of defense in a game. People in their minds are thinking like, hey, your best player should never leave the field. They should never get tired. There's a 10-play drive. Some guys should be out there for 10 consecutive plays. It is not always that simple, and the majority of guys who play on the defensive front are not able to sustain that level of effort that you want. And we know effort is a huge thing for Matt Eberflus. He doesn't just want you being there if the ball's in your zone. He wants you chasing the football like a madman. And this relates to me to part of the reason why Montez Sweat has been having the style of training camp that he's been having. So by comparison to the other names that I mentioned here, Montez Sweat was at 69% of the snaps played for the Bears last year.
So that's Montez.
Oh, we finally got there. It's fun. And isn't it fitting that 69% of the snaps is what you get with Montez?
Last season on That's Montez, Montez Sweat was on the field 69% of the time. In 2024, season two, what will happen? Will Grandma Sweat let her grandson Montez go out there for more? We'll see on this season of That's Montez.
Hell yeah. So, I love this show.
It's going to be a crowd pleaser, I suppose, one way to view is that, Montez.
That's Montez?
Hope so.
Yeah, hell yeah, it's a crowd pleaser.
I mean, the debut season, a lot of times when somebody comes out in their debut season, it's the best work. You never know what season two is going to hold.
No, it's true. You hope for it. You don't get a sophomore. Yeah. Well, the writers, a lot of times the writers get poached. If a show is really good in year one, some of those guys then get poached. So we'll have to look and see. It can be tricky that way.
Right.
As long as Montez is still there. You know what I'm saying?
Their head writer did get sent away to L.A. He's working on, God, what the hell is it called? Everybody Loves Khalil Mack.
All right. We'll see how that goes.
This is no longer the Yes And Show, I guess, huh? The one guy goes to TV and all of a sudden you're just leaving me out there to dry.
No. It's
the hell, Ant?
I know, speak.
He's trying. He's all right. He nodded. He nodded.
After we did the first one, I turned to Tanny. I was like, have we done the bit with Ant? I don't know if he gets the bit of that's Montez.
And I said, Ant definitely gets the bit.
How do you not get the bit?
I mean,
how do you not?
The bit itself is obvious. Yes. I was waiting on Speaks for the yes and.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
He
did the yes. He was waiting for me for the end.
For the and as well.
Hawkeroo, and we'll be back.
Be back with another exciting episode.
That's exactly right, Montez. Hawk. That's exactly right.
The way that that Montez Sweat ends up playing the game, we saw the effort increase during his time last year with the Bears, but I don't think he was accustomed to playing the style of play that Matt Eberflus wanted from him. So to me, I think this percentage is going to increase this year, and it's a part of why we would hear reports out of training camp that like they couldn't block Montez Sweat. They couldn't stop him from playing with such effort and chasing Caleb Williams down, knocking the ball out of his hand. They got to remove him from drills and all this stuff.
Ooh.
I think he is getting more accustomed to the style of play that is being demanded of him by the Chicago Bears. And, you know, to be a guy who's as productive as he was in the percentage of snaps that he played, to get yourself in the condition that you need to suit the philosophy of Matt Eberflus's defense, then to me, my theory is we're going to see a Montez Sweat that plays well above 70% of the snaps and continues the same type of, at times, almost reckless effort and abandon that he plays the game with. So it should be pretty exciting to me to hear about how training camp went for him and to see by comparison to some of the other top players in the business right now that he does have room to grow with the amount of time he spends on the field.
Man, see, that's cool to think about because there's been so much going on with Caleb and so much going on with thinking about the other side of that defensive line and getting excited about the secondary and stuff. I've kind of, I don't want to say taken Montez for granted. Mm-hmm. I mean, Granny did that one time, which led to a very special episode where Montez had to step up for himself. And no, but like to think about that there's room to grow. And not just in terms of overall snap percentage like you're talking about, but stylistically, that's exciting to think about. Give us more on that, because you think he was used to playing a little bit more sparingly in Washington, or what has changed between the way that he was utilized in Washington and the way that now with an offseason and a full training camp under his belt and the comfort level with Eberflus and with Eric Washington in terms of the style that we're going to see from Montez?
It was a deep defensive front, you know, a lot of first round picks spent on that D-line in Washington, and the production at times was there, but it never has struck me in recent years as a group that just plays the game consistently hard, you know, especially Chase Young. You know, Chase Young is a guy with this immense physical potential.
Yes.
And he's been productive at times, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year when he first came out. But he's been banged up. He's been injured. And as a group, it seems like it has struck me as a group of defensive linemen in Washington that's been more about the occasional splash play than how an entire defense can benefit from that group. Snap in, snap out, looking to dominate, looking to play as hard as they can. That's more the philosophy, more the mentality, more the culture that Matt Eberflus has tried to foster here in Chicago, and is a part of what makes his defense so imposing between the way they finished last season and what we've seen from them early during this preseason phase here. So if you get that mentality and have Montez Sweat now in even better physical condition to be able to sustain that throughout a higher percentage in game, then you don't only get it from Montez. You get it from the rest of the guys up front, where the coaching points of when the ball gets thrown, you chase the ball like a banshee.
Yeah.
You know, you get out of the stack and swiftly run downfield just in case there's a possibility of you making a play, chasing it down from the backside, just like some of those great Bears defenses that we saw in the first decade of the 2000s. That's the temperament that it seems like they've tried to foster here. And I don't want to see Montez playing 90, 95% of the snaps. I don't think you should need that from your great players unless you don't have a deep group. You know, Max Crosby is not on a deep defensive line with the Raiders. Max, you go ahead and take a few plays off. You can take those plays off on the field. You don't need to come to the sideline.
Sure.
So you got to rest on occasion, take a couple off.
Also, if you're any good, you've got leads, and you can take a little bit of foot off the gas of some of your big boys at that point.
Right. I mean, that's the hope. But even if you don't, if you're on a deep D-line, you should be able to come at that opponent in waves, say, you know what, Darrell Taylor is our situational pass rusher. If there's occasionally a third down where Montez isn't on the field because he needs a blow, and we can put Taylor on the field because he's a guy who knows how to sack the quarterback, now you're in a better position to do that. So that's what you hope to build your defensive front to, that guys are comfortable playing as hard as they possibly can, knowing that if they take a rest,
yeah,
you can still get a high level of production.
That's really good stuff from our guy Anthony Heron. It's Spiegs and Ant Heron here on The Score. Some more of your texts and thoughts about how life has changed in subtle ways now that Caleb Williams is here. And what's it like to scout him as a defensive coach? Our defensive coach on staff gave those thoughts. We'll bring them to you next here on 670 The Score.